spiritual warfare. I believe you'll join me in declaring that we do not want evil to win. We do not want evil to win. 2 weeks ago, I encouraged you not to give up, but to just sail on. Last week, we discovered how Satan deceives us through his illusions by making things seem real when they are not real. It is necessary that we keep our eyes on Jesus to recognize what is really real. What is really real. Today I want to look again at spiritual warfare, and specifically the armor that God has provided for us that we must continually wear. God has us looking at spiritual warfare because this is a vital part of our Christian walk, and it's often overlooked or neglected. It is something that many people pay very little attention to, sometimes no attention, and there's great danger in that. The danger we face is the war that exists between good and evil, light and darkness, and life and death. And this war is fought over the possession of your soul and mind. At this very moment, there are devastating conflicts resulting in uncountable souls being wounded in the battlefield. Unfortunately, this active conflict is not discussed by many churches. Then there are some people who would rather not talk about it. And then there's still others who have simply chosen to ignore it. But regardless of the various attitudes, the truth of the matter is that every human being in the world is personally involved in this war. The grim reality that exists is that there are two armies that participate in this war, the army of God and the army of Satan, who relentlessly attacks God's people. If we're not aware of, if we've chosen to ignore this war, then we are easy prey for the enemy and likely to become seriously wounded. So how do we wage a successful war against the forces of evil? The first thing that we observe, now before we go do that, let's go to Ephesians 6. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Believe it or not, this is the first time I have ever preached on this passage of Scripture. I've always felt like it's been overdone. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at the armor of God. Starting in verse 10. You with me? All right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith that with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen and amen. Amen. The first thing we observe about these verses is the dynamic message that addresses our source of power. It's a stern warning about who we're fighting and how we need to fight. This is very evident when we read verse 10 and 12. If you look at it again, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, you may think you are not involved in this battle. You may reason that you're not a pastor or a church leader, a missionary, an intercessor. You're not on the front line. So you're not involved. And simply, you're not a target of the enemy. If you have agreed with any of those aforementioned ideas or thoughts and then submitted to them, brothers and sisters, I must inform you that you have already been assaulted. You already have been assaulted in the battlefield, and you are gravely wounded in your emotions and thinking. I say this because there are no exceptions or exclusions to who participates in this war. Every human being is part of it. The thing that separates the believer from the rest is that the believer fights in the army of God, and the non-believer fights in the army of evil. And please understand, this spiritual war is for the control of your mind. For the control of your mind. I'm referring to those internal struggles of our thought life, the battle of good and evil in our minds. So if someone allows evil thoughts to operate and control their life, then their participation has been clearly defined. Now, why is this intense battle for control over our mind taking place? Because Satan knows very well that if he can control the way we think, mess with our emotions, limit what we believe, then he can also control the way we live. The verses we just read tell us we do not battle against flesh and blood. And even though election day is coming, our conflict isn't about governments. It's not about people, it's not about religious institutions, and it's not about those political parties that have been driving us nuts with all their lies. The war being waged is not a war that has defined borders or countries. The war being fought is not something that we can detect with our human senses. If it was, then the war would be wouldn't be so difficult. It would be much less difficult. Why is this war so difficult to identify? Because the majority of the population, including you guys, are considered visual. In other words, they have to see it to believe it. You have to see it to believe it. So we're like Thomas. I need to see it, touch it, smell it, before I can really believe it's happening. Therefore, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. If you recognize that this is how you've been, then Paul's warning and the teachings of scriptures are no use to you. They carry no importance, have no value to you, because you're unable to see into the spiritual realm. You simply don't see the evil that exists around you. Consequently, you can't see it, then you can't believe it. But what about the things that surround us constantly? Things that we can't see or touch or smell. Things that we've accepted. How many people in here have a cellular phone? How about wireless electronic components? How many have television with an outside antenna? Probably just me. Couple. Wouldn't you say that in this technical world in which we live, there are countless gadgets and gizmos that have operating systems that are impossible to see? Amen. They are indescribable to our senses, indiscernible, but we know they exist. These items of technology that at times have been indispensable to us transmit invisible signals. These invisible signals are non-stop. They're non-stop. Regardless of whether we hear or see or touch them, they affect us or have some sort of impact on us personally. The powers of darkness operate in the same fashion, except they're not here to bless you. They're not here to benefit you. Look carefully again at verse 12 of our text. Verse 12, at how Paul describes our enemies. He says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Just in case you didn't know or realize it, these powers that Paul was talking about never rest. They never rest. It's just like those signals we've been talking about that are turned off even. The power of darkness never stops attacking against humanity. Satan's army is constantly attempting to surround us, bombard us with thoughts and feelings that are not pleasing to God and separating us from His very presence. We can't see them, we can't touch them, but nevertheless, they are there. They are there. Never forget that Satan is astute in his tactics and there is no means, method, or thoughts that he will not exploit in his attempt to separate us from God's presence. He will use anything. But saints, here's the greatest of realities. Here's the greatest of realities. We are not orphans left without hope. Amen? We are not orphans left without hope. Jesus did not leave us at the mercy of the devil and his army of demons. Jesus came to completely destroy the works of the devil. Amen? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And may I remind you once again, the devil has no power over the life of a faithful believer. Let me say it again. The devil has no power over the life of a faithful believer. The only authority that he has over your life, over the life of a believer, is the authority that's been freely given him by you. It's the only authority he has you've given him. You've opened the doors. You've allowed him to come in. That's why there's an ongoing battle to control your mind. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil so that you and I could be free from this bondage. The devil can't force you to do anything, but he will attempt to influence you. Remember last week we talked about his illusions, how he makes things look different than what they really are. So what can we do to prevent this from happening? What can we do? Our text in Ephesians is telling us that we must be battle ready by dressing appropriately. By dressing appropriately. Remember, Jesus did not abandon us. He did not leave us at the mercy of the enemy. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, he said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Where are strongholds, folks? Right smack in your mind. "Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." Where are arguments? Right in your mind. "Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Where do you think that happens? Right in your mind. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, Jesus left us weapons for our use in this war. This war against evil that pursues our minds. In fact, he left us a complete arsenal. Don't you like that? He left us a complete arsenal. Amen. Let's go back to Ephesians 6, and we're going to start with verse 13 and go down to 18. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Amen? Amen. Tell the person next to you, to fight the enemy, you have to dress correctly. Unfortunately, this powerful armor that God has provided is something that many fail to wear on a daily basis. Probably because they do not understand the significance. Many Christians only see this description of the armor of God as an ancient Roman soldier and fail to recognize its relevance pertaining to spiritual warfare. Therefore, we have to look at it a little closer. Have to examine it a little better. First part of the armor is the belt. It's the belt. This is what is being referred to when we read in verse 14, "having girded your waist with truth." Having girded your waist with truth. How can a belt be an essential part of armor? To be honest, this piece may be the most important piece in the armor. Amen. I say this because if we were to examine the armor of a Roman soldier, we would soon discover that the belt would be the piece that held it all together. It would also be the place where the soldiers would put their offensive weapons. They'd hang them from the belt. God is giving us the belt as the centerpiece of our armor. It represents truth. We must be surrounded on all sides by God's truth. You see, the devil is a liar. If he opens his mouth, out comes a lie. So the only way we can defeat him in battle is to do it with truth. Let's never forget what we find in John 8:32. We love to say this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Only when we operate in the truth of God and the sanctity of His Word will we be able to keep the rest of our armor in place. We have to have that belt. Have to have that belt. The second piece of our spiritual armor is the breastplate. Our text tells us in verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When we consider this piece of armor worn by the soldiers in that era, we would see that it's typically a piece of heavy leather. And in some instances, it's reinforced with pieces of metal. The breastplate covered the soldier from his neck to his waist. In other words, the piece was designed to protect the soldier's vital organs. Any soldier wearing a breastplate into battle would be confident that it could protect him by deflecting or preventing an opponent's weapon from causing severe injury. And just like the soldier, our breastplate must remain in place at all times. All times. Since the breastplate signifies righteousness, we are called to remain faithful and pure with our fellowship with Jesus. We live in His righteousness. His righteousness. So just as God remains faithful to us, and we remain faithful to Him, our breastplate, when it's properly placed, we will tear from our hearts, folks, all the impure feelings, and erase from our mind all the impure thoughts. Then the breastplate is reinforced when we cast off sin and deny the sinful nature of the flesh, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our every step. Keep that breastplate on. Keep that breastplate on. It will protect your heart from following after the world and assist you as you strive to abide in Jesus Christ. Amen. The third piece of armor is our footwear. Our footwear. Consider what the scripture tells us in verse 15. It says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The footwear of the soldiers of that time were sandals, made out of heavy, heavy leather with metal spikes attached to the soles. Not only could the spikes provide soldiers with better stability, regardless of the terrain, but they could also be used as a weapon. When we study the Bible, it's impossible to miss the fact that God calls His people to stand. Amen. To stand. As disciples, we are called to take a stand and to stand firmly on the truth of His Word. This is why our footwear is so necessary. We must maintain our stability regardless of the conditions of life. Regardless. But our footwear is also described as the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I'm referring to God's peace, the inner peace that sustains us despite our changing situations or circumstances. We can have God's peace even in the midst of the battle. You with me? Even in the midst of the battle. It is our peace described in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you do not possess this peace, then the enemy will undoubtedly put rocks and boulders in your path. He'll do it. And may I warn you, saints, that without the peace of God, the enemy will spread broken glass of discouragement all along your way. If we're not wearing the peace that Jesus delivered us into us, then our spiritual feet will be bare. They'll be bare, and we will be unable to stand firmly in our rightful place. The fourth piece of armor is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The text tells us here in verse 16, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All the fiery darts. As we take another look at the armor of those soldiers, we discover that the shield was in most cases made out of wood, covered with a thick piece of leather or a heavy material. The shield measured about 4 foot high. It was also soaked in water before the battle to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The soldier would make great use of this weapon, moving it from side to side or up and down to best protect him in all directions. Folks, the shield that we use to protect us from Satan's attack is our faith. It's our faith. Now we understand that the devil's very aggressive and cunning. We know that as a fact. And he will consistently attack the area of your life that is the weakest. He will go after the area that's the weakest. If our faith is weak, if we're not taking the time to reinforce it, then we are like a soldier who enters the battlefield with a shield made out of paper. This may sound absurd, but the grim reality is that many do not take the time to feed their faith. How do I feed my faith, Pastor Jerry? Glad you asked that. Faith is fed and faith grows by the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Without our constant feeding on God's truth, our faith will wither and eventually fail. Feast on the Word of God. It is the Word that provides protection against the lies and the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. Now, let's examine the fifth piece of our armor, which is the helmet. The helmet. The text states in verse 17, and take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. As I said in the beginning of this message, if we had to define the significance of our spiritual warfare in the simplest terms, we would do so by saying it's a battle for the control of your mind. It's a battle for the control of your mind. Therefore, this article of protective gear can never be left behind. Don't go out without this. In other words, the helmet cannot be misplaced, forgotten, ignored, because it's the only protection over our head. It is in this vital area that our thoughts and feelings originate. And as I emphasized earlier, the devil knows that if he can control the way we think, he will be able to manipulate us to act the way he wants us to act. In our text, we have two of the most powerful. I missed a page. We'll get there in just a minute. When Satan controls your mind, he can persuade you to take a path that you might not ordinarily take. It could result in a failure to operate within God's plan. Therefore, the helmet of salvation protects the believer from the mental assaults of the enemy. And they come. And they come. And they come. Our thought life must be preserved, helping us remember that we received our salvation through the grace of God and maintain fellowship with Him by our perseverance in the faith. Amen? Failing to persevere in faith, we allow our thoughts to be influenced by the devil. And then we will most likely fall wounded in the battlefield. Now, the distinctive reality concerning war is that the army can never win a battle with defensive weapons alone. Successful soldiers must maintain safeguards. But more important are the offensive weapons needed to overcome the opponent. Do we have offensive weapons in our arsenal?
Yes.
Yes. The answer is an absolute yes. Amen. Yes. In our text, we have two of the most powerful offensive weapons that exist in the universe, and the only two that will force the army of the enemy into a complete retreat. The text tells us in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is our offensive weapon? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. It is this weapon that we utilize to besiege our enemy on the forefront, right on the front line. And it is this weapon that is indispensable if we are able to liberate the lost souls from the clutches of the evil one. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is penetrating. The Word of God can convict. The Word of God clears our thoughts. And the Word of God cleanses our entire being.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Tell the person next to you, the Word of God is our sword. The Word of God is like a machine gun. But what else is required in God's army? Bombs. Explosives. Are there bombs in our arsenal? Absolutely. But what are they? The bombs are the prayers of the saints, folks. Paul said it this way in our text in verse 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer explodes into the spiritual realm, traveling upward to the presence of God. Saints, be assured, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing impossible for Him, for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nothing impossible for the Lord. Amen. Listen to the words of Luke 1:37. With God, nothing will be impossible.
Amen.
For with God, nothing will be impossible. When Moses prayed, the Red Sea parted. When Joshua prayed, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. When Daniel prayed, he was delivered out of the lion's den. When Elijah prayed, fire descended from heaven. When the saints prayed, Peter was delivered from prison. There is no substitute for prayer at any time, in any place, and in any circumstance. We must maintain our watchfulness because the enemy is relentless in his attacks. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." We must recognize, brothers and sisters, that one of the most vital weapons we possess is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Yes, it's true that in the army of the Lord, we must take a stand and we must advance toward the enemy as we can. But understand that the most arduous battles that are not won on our feet, they are won on our knees. Your most difficult struggles will be won when you pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Saints, the battle is real, and the casualties are insurmountable. For years, countless soldiers have fallen, seriously wounded. Seriously. Because they failed to recognize that the war between good and evil rages on. They begin believing false doctrine. Or they are such an emotional wreck they can't stand anymore. These are the wounds, at least some of the wounds, that we can take on when the war of the devil comes our way if we don't have the armor of God on. Stay on guard. Stay alert. Stay spiritually sensitive. Be ready, because the enemy will not give you any warning. He will not give you any warning. Listen, folks, God never changes. He never changes. His word remains alive and powerful.
Hallelujah.
His promises to his saints are yea and amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Final battle is drawing near. But the victory has already been won.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sail on. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever."
Amen.
While we wait for the final triumph, let us maintain our position on the battlefield, keeping our armor on, and our weapons ready.
Amen.
Folks, starting today, I want you to look very carefully at how you're dressed. I'd like to say when you go home, you could take this dress off. But the war goes on at your house, too. Wherever you are, there's someone after your thoughts. Someone wants to change your thinking. Someone wants to abuse your emotions. Someone wants to change your personality. Someone wants to defeat you where you don't matter anymore. It's a war, and every person is involved in it. Every person. We must continue to activate the weapons that God has given us. The power to win this battle is yours. It's available.
Amen.
Each one of those pieces of armor are lessons that are taught through the Word of God. We must be saved. Yes. Must have the righteousness of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We must have faith.
Yes.
We must have the Word of God.
Yes.
We must be able to stand.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. I want somebody to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
God is good. And all the time. God is good and all the time. Y'all know that every time I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself too. Every one of us needs to be reminded. I've read that scripture I don't know how many times. But we have to be reminded about what it says. What it says. You have to guard yourself, folks.
Yes.
I have a statue that sits on my desk at work and says, "Don't form or God has got my own soldier."
Amen.
I got it for
Amen.
You.
Find me every day. I walk up to that desk.
Very good. Very good. We should have one for everybody. We need the armor of God. There is a relentless being that is after you. He's after me.
After your children and your grandchildren.
They're in the battle too, Larry. All our kids, all our grandkids, all our great-grandkids, they're in a battle too. Well, let's stand together and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're our source for every piece of this armor. You're the one that can equip us. You're the one that have given us these pieces of armor. Lord, I ask that you will remind us to guard these areas of our life, to guard them every day, and when we need to, use the offensive weapons that we have, the Word of God and prayer. Lord, thank you for the truth that holds everything together. Let us live in your truth, Lord. Lord, make us battle ready. Let this little old church be battle ready.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Where we can take on the enemy of our soul. Let our thinking be clear. Let our emotions be stable. Let our feet be on the ground. And let us say, sail on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Lord, reinforce this teaching throughout the week. Let it remain in our thoughts. Let it remain in our heart. Let us talk about it at home. Let us see the truth of it in the Word when we read the Word of God or study the Word of God. Let the truth of this be revealed when we open that Word. Lord, we give you praise for today. And Lord, we're leaving here more prepared than when we came. Lord, we're going to stand. We're going to stand with those old spikes dug into the dirt. With the peace that overwhelms us. Thank you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you today. Bless your folks. In Jesus' name. Lord, you have...